I see a lot of people are out enjoying the weather today. This is the first year in, I'm not sure how many years, 4 years maybe, that I, can we get a gentleman to assist here, please? Thank you. Yeah. Just breathe Jim's way. Just take a breath his direction. Here we go. Keep breathing. I'm going to have you breathe a lot during this service, and I just want to ask you to be aware of your breathing all the way through. If it's a difficulty for you to breathe, especially if you have a respiratory condition that doesn't allow you to breathe very deeply in or very deeply out, please, you know, honor that in your body. But I am going to ask you to do a lot of breathing today. Today's kind of a meditation service. And it's called Breath of Life, and next week will be Body of Grace. So they kind of intermingle. Before we get started, though, I would like to acknowledge that a few weeks ago, we got to bless the Finn family before their baby came into the world. And baby Indiana's here with us today. So I wasn't expecting you to stand up, because sit down. I've had kids, and hi.
Hi. We're so tired.
Look at him. Well, I can tell you he's precious. I'm just reporting, and we'll have a more formal blessing later. But yes. I did want to acknowledge. Thank you for being here today, Tired
All
Mama.
Your prayers worked. It was the most fabulous delivery. We had the best time.
Okay. I've got to say that I don't think I've ever heard any new mom say, wow, that baby delivery was just the best time. I mean, I had a C-section. It wasn't the best time. I mean, the reward was great.
The surgeon said it was the most money he's ever had in a C-section.
But of course, Leah, I mean, we prayed her up. It followed her right into labor and delivery. So boom, boom, boom. So today we're just going to... just start taking in all the people that you might know that are troubled with something, that are about to leave this world, that are having problems with illness right now, that have problems with their minds and bodies. Maybe it's you. We're just going to keep blessing people all through this service today. And I'm not being political about this, but there is a sudden and unexpected humanitarian crisis occurring in Syria right now, in which tens of thousands of people are displaced. If you were to imagine all of the Hill Country, less Austin itself, imagine all those people not having a place to be. So it doesn't matter what you think about this or that. We can all find a place of compassion in our hearts for people who are forced out of their homes and their homeland. So we're going to breathe for them today. I feel like I would be remiss as a pastor, as a spiritual leader, I would be remiss if I didn't mention some of the things that are going on in our world today about which we need to pray. No matter what, When people are suffering, it's our responsibility. It's our, I'm not going to call it the guilt of privilege, but I'm going to call it the responsibility of privilege. We talked about this at the women's retreat last week. We can absolutely offer our prayers and assistance in whatever way possible to people that are suffering, whether it's children, whether it's adults, whether it's in our country, in our town, in another country, anywhere else in the world. We cannot see ourselves as isolated people anymore. We must see ourselves as global citizens. And I would like to hear an amen on that.
Amen.
We have a responsibility as people of the world to do our part to lift up the energy of all humanity. So on a lighter note, this is the first year in many that I did not go to the ACL Fest. However, I could hear it. I live in Southwest Austin, and where I'm located, the sound travels right down Mopac. It bounces into the Barton Creek Valley there that Mopac goes over, and it's like a little amplifier, and it came right up in my backyard. And I had a whole bunch of neighbors on my Nextdoor app that were just like, "This music is too loud." I went over to my neighbors and told them to turn it down, and then I realized it was coming from the park. Well, it was just the right conditions of a north wind, a low ceiling, clear air, and there it came. So I took my dogs out the other night, and Friday night, and I was going, oh my gosh, that's Live and Let Die, and that's Guns N' Roses playing it. Yes! So I'm just out like digging it in my backyard because I love that song more than I love Guns N' Roses, but I love that song. And then last night I heard Gary Clark Jr. And then later on I heard Childish Gambino. And it was like, wow, I didn't have to go because I could hear all the music. So for all the people who didn't enjoy that disturbance, I'm sorry, a little. But I had a blast. You know, I'm like, hey, free music. So with this cooler weather and some great jams. Oh, and I have tonight to look forward to. Yes. Before it closes down. Yeah, y'all all come over to my house. We'll just sit out in the backyard and listen to the bass. So I've been thinking a lot about breath. And that sounds counterintuitive. But when I think about breath, then I breathe. Because we live in a time and in a world in which it's too easy to start breathing shallow because we're stressed. Everything from traffic to my neighbors who didn't like the music to stresses in our own lives. So many things can cause us not to breathe. And it's important that we do that. We need it to sustain our lives. And so I'm going to talk about breath as a function of our body, but I'm also going to talk to you about breath as a span of time. I'm going to talk to you about breath as a doorway. So first, let's talk about that doorway. If you've ever had the privilege of being able to be with someone when they leave this world, you know that it's a breath and then not a breath. And it's one of the most amazingly spiritual experiences, even in grief, even in sorrow. It's amazing. Karen, we're going to need to keep that door shut if you can. Thank you. Yeah, that'll help. Thank you. Just keep breathing for Jim. He's been struggling with his health for a little while, so we just want to wrap him up in our love and in our prayers. So if you've experienced that moment between this world and the next, that's how far away the other world is. It's a breath away. It's thinner than a veil we can see. And if you've ever experienced an amazing meditation, in one breath you can go from a full awareness of this time and place and body, and then you're somewhere else. I know the other night when Jan played her bowls for us, many of us were transported to somewhere else by the vibrations of the universe in those bowls. So you can also notice that when you are fully engaged, when you're in what psychologists call the flow, you'll notice that your breathing is even and regular, and time begins to lose its relevance. You know, when something passes very quickly. The other night when we had our Sufi friends here, and I wrote about this in the newsletter, when we had our Sufi friends here and we danced with them, we had to kind of breathe through our self-consciousness of chanting words we weren't familiar with, those of us who are not in the Sufi practice. But once we got it and got our bodies engaged, we worked up we had our heart rates up and we were breathing. And do you know that when you're really breathing and you haven't been breathing, you might get a little lightheaded? That's a good sign. Sit down so you don't fall down. But it was a beautiful thing to lose ourselves in breath and movement and chant, so that we had a glimpse of that ecstasy of being fully in spirit. And I use that word ecstasy on purpose, because when we're in that place, when we're in that place where we're totally united with the one that is the one, then we are lifted. We're transcendent people. Now, we can't necessarily sustain that all the time, but we can try. We can try with our breath. You know, this is totally unscientific, but just roll with me here. We still have this little part of our brain back here, our limbic brain. Some people like to call it the lizard brain. It's our most basic instinct. And it's from the limbic brain that we have the fight or flight urge. And what happens with that is our adrenaline kicks in, our heart starts racing, and we stop breathing. And that happens now, because of stressors. We are not being pursued by large cats. We are not in danger of losing our lives, and we still have that flight response or that fight response. And so one of the things that I've been working on is when I feel that limbic thing kick in, is to take one of those breaths. And I can tell you that it goes away in about three breaths. Three breaths will take you out of that and back into yourself. Because it's hard on our bodies, it's hard on our souls to stay there. We just cannot. We're not built for that anymore. So I want to share with you some words also. I looked up references to breath in the Bible. There were too many to list. And especially in the Hebrew Bible, the books of the law and the prophets, the books of poetry and praise, there are dozens of references to breath as a gift given to us and taken away from us by God. Dozens of references. But I also want to remind you that the languages of people, especially in the Middle East, and I'm referring specifically to Hebrew and Arabic, have a lot of sounds in their language that are exhalations. If you think about YHWH, which is the name of God, and say, if you were to say, I'm not going to say that word out of respect for our brothers and sisters who do not pronounce that name in the Jewish faith, but when you say that word, it is an ah and an eh. When we talk about the creation of Adam in the scripture, what's less important about how Adam was made? I'm pretty sure humans were not made from mud. Just have a hunch that that's not the way it happened. But when the breath of God breathed into this new human, the way the word was pronounced, to my understanding, was Adam. When Sarah was touched by God, her name had been, I may have this wrong, Stanley, you'll have to tell me, Sarai, and then it was Sarah. So there are a lot of the breath of God in those words. We sang the song by Ricky Byers this morning, and I have a feeling that was that Native American. There was a lot of exhalation in that. Do you remember me telling you about the whales in Alaska? Every time they sounded, it is an exhalation for the whales, but when you're in that environment and you're hearing those exhalations over and over and over again, you can't help but breathe. And I know that I had to sit down on the deck of the ship after a while because I was breathing with the whales and my head was getting white in that clear, cool air there in the water, listening to the whales. So now that it's a little cooler, we can go outside and breathe. Tonight is the actual full moon, the hunter's moon. And if our skies are clear tonight, it's supposed to be a spectacular moonrise. Go out and breathe with the moon tonight. And then come back on Wednesday night, and you can breathe your full moon prayer with Kit. I'm going to be there. And walk the labyrinth prayerfully, breathing. When you take your steps through your life, try having a mantra word that you say every time you take a step, so that you remember that every place you step is holy ground. I forget that all the time, especially when I'm in a hurry. You know, in that ram somebody else with your shopping cart kind of hurry. I've never done that on purpose, but you know what I mean. I've got this much time. I've got to get this many things. Not holy ground. Shopping, shallow breathing in a hurry, kind of 21st century life breathing. One of the best places for us to find words about breathing are in the words of Rumi. There is a way of breathing that is a shame and a suffocation, and there's another way of expiring. A love breath that lets you open infinitely. So you might ask yourself, is this breath that I'm taking right now because of something that I'm feeling that doesn't serve me? Or am I taking a love breath that opens me infinitely? Think about that. Hafiz, another great poet. I am a hole in a flute that the Christ's breath moves through. Listen to this music. I love that. Wait, I have another. More roomy. Breath is a doorway between realms. With life as short as a half-taken breath, don't plant anything but love. With life as short as a half-taken breath, don't plant anything but love. And did you notice your response to that was to go, At the end of my life, with just one breath, if you come, I'll sit up and sing. At the end of my life, with just one breath left, if you come, I'll sit up and sing. That's a story of breath, and that's a story of love. In 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 words. A story of life and love. That, I don't know how many words it was actually in the way Rumi wrote it, but that's Coleman Barks' interpretation. Rumi's most famous reading is called, one of the most famous, is called Only Breath. Not Christian or Jew or Muslim, not Hindu, Buddhist, Sufi, or Zen, not any religion or cultural system. I am not from the East or the West, not out of the ocean or up from the ground, not natural or ethereal, not composed of elements at all. I do not exist, am not an entity in this world or the next, did not descend from Adam and Eve or any origin story. My place is placeless, a trace of the traceless, neither body or soul. I belong to the beloved, have seen the two worlds as one, and that one called to and know. First, last, outer, inner. Only that breath-breathing human being. That's it. The great teachers say that in order to know our oneness, we have to know our nothingness. What if we could just let go for a few moments in our meditation, in a moment of just breath? If we could let go of all the stories about ourselves, what if we could let go of our DNA patterning? What if we could let go of gender and age and appearance and practice and wounds and everything that attaches us to things? And in a breath, just be the nothingness that is everything. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is not a riddle. This is the state of who we are. So because we chose this human existence, we put on these bodies, and we put on our different ailments and families of origin and our partners, our losses, our triumphs. We take on all of that to experience the fullness of the human experience. But underneath it all, we are the breath of God. We are the breath of life. Now, how are we going to use this in a practical way? We're going to breathe. When I'm talking about breathing, I'm talking about expanding all the way down here where your Buddha belly feels it. I don't think the Buddha had a tummy like he did because he ate too much rice. I think his breathing muscles were so used to this beautiful breathing, even deeper than the diaphragm, all the way down here, that his muscles became attuned that way. That's not my goal. But, or excuse for that matter, but to be able just to breathe. More than just sustaining life. You can sustain life just going. And breathe like a fish. Or. So your challenge this week is to breathe and to catch yourself when you're not really breathing. And so we're going to slip right into, and I think we'll do this silently today, we're going to slip into a quiet meditation. And all you have to do is breathe. And just notice that if your mind starts to get engaged, how your breathing changes. Your mind wants to do something much more complicated than breathe. So it can just take a little recess while you breathe. Notice how your shoulders begin to relax. Notice how your chest expands. Notice as you breathe with all these beloved ones that are breathing with you, that your heart begins to open to infinite love. Breathe a deep breath of gratitude for baby Indiana and for the Finns who share their lives so beautifully with us. And breathe a breath for Jim Bishop. And breathe a breath for yourself and others that are tired and weary. For all the caregivers that are in this room and the people they take care of. I know there are some in this room who have chronic pain. And we breathe a deep breath for their relief and ours. And we breathe a breath for displaced children and adults, no matter where they are. And remember again that this breath that you are taking, each time you take it, is not only for the good of your body and soul, but this breath is also containing infinite time and space. So yes, that intentional breath that you breathe touches others that are far and near in the time it takes you to take that breath. Holy Spirit, activity of God. For our first breath to our last, we are grateful. For the breaths we are breathing now, we are grateful. For the reminder of your presence in the breeze, in the birds, in the sounds of life. We give thanks. And so we imprint upon our hearts right now the intention to breathe more consciously, more intentionally, with depth. With prayer. With joy. Our intention is heard and travels with us. And for that, we are also grateful. And so it is. Amen.